Now, you might have a handout. They were available to print out on the website, and you can fill in the gaps as we go along. And there's space there to make notes so that you can remember things later and think about the sermon later if you'd like to. I'm using a church Bible. Oh, look, it's invisible. That's fun. And I'm on page 1077 in the church Bible. We're looking at John 11. Now, let me read this to you. Death is nothing at all. I have only slipped away to the next room. I am I, and you are you. Whatever we were to each other, that we still are. That's by Henry Scott Holland about 100 odd years ago. Now, maybe you've received that in a card, a sympathy card. Perhaps you sent it to other people. Death is nothing at all. Is that true? Here's some words from Woody Allen. He's always good for quotes on death. Compared to the fear of death, he says, there is no other fear of significant consequence. All other fears, all other problems one can deal with. Loneliness, lack of love, lack of talent, lack of money. Everything can be dealt with. In some way, there are ways to cope. You have friends that can help you. You have doctors that can help you. But perishing is what it's all about. Or slightly more succinctly, death is absolutely stupefying in its terror, and it renders anyone's accomplishment meaningless. I'm just going to pause a moment. We've got a beep coming from somewhere. I'm just going to address that. Claire, is it from the phone? Can you put it on the hook in my room? It's running out of battery. Thank you. Go on. Thank you. My beautiful assistant helping us out there. So, have they got anything to say about death? Is there anyone who's got anything better to say? How do we feel about death? With coronavirus on the horizon, it's very much something we're thinking about, isn't it? And maybe it's our own death that we're concerned about. And we're afraid. Perhaps we're going to be that 52-year-old with underlying health problems who doesn't make it. Or the 37-year-old who's perfectly fit and for some reason ends up in intensive care, dying. Or the 73-year-old who isn't particularly unhealthy or anything but just can't stop it. Perhaps that's going to be you or me. And we're afraid, are we? Maybe bewildered about the death of others. Death is not nothing at all. Otherwise we wouldn't be afraid. Go into the next room. He's not there. What she was to you, she is no more. It's really hard. But death is not nothing at all. Has anyone got something better to say? Yes. Our Lord Jesus does. It's here in this passage, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus changes death. And there's something you can fill in on the sheets here. In Christ, death is no longer the moment of grim finality, but the gateway to life, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In Christ, death is no longer the moment of grim finality, but the gateway to life, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I thought we'd look at this passage, John chapter 11, for these 2 weeks, partly because it's Easter time and we did this verse cropped up last week in our service, and partly because I wanted to think about this important issue with coronavirus around. Now, what's the story? Well, in very brief, a friend of Jesus called Lazarus is ill. Jesus hears, but he's 4 days away. He turns up eventually and Lazarus has died. Martha says, he says to Martha rather, you're the resurrection. Mary comes and meets him. Jesus goes to the tomb. He weeps. And then, spoiler alert, he raises Lazarus from the dead. He gets a big reaction, but it's not quite what you might expect. And we'll see that next week. In the part we're looking at verses 1 through to verse 35. And we're going to see three important ways that Jesus Christ changes death. So let's have a look at this wonderful passage. Now, verse 1. A man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair, which John hasn't told us about yet, but if you turn over the page, you'll see it's there in chapter 12. So, the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." Here's a family who knew Jesus well, and they were his friends. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, friends of the Lord Jesus. He's the one they love. They're the ones he loves. Well, when he heard this, Jesus said, not to them, but to his disciples gathered around him, "This illness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, if you ever needed it, here's a clue that something fantastic and amazing is going to happen. It's going to end in God's glory, God the Father, and it'll be so that the Son, God's Son, may be glorified through it. Who is Jesus, by the way? The Son of God, in case you haven't noticed. And glory means that we're going to go, wow, about God, and wow, about Jesus at the end of this. So hold on to your seats. Let's see what happens. Now, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There you go, he's a great friend of theirs. So, this is a bit weird, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Now, why did he delay? We'll come back to it. Why does he go back to say, "We'll go back to Judea"? You see, if we've been reading John up to this point, we'll know that, just look over the next column, just go left a bit, and they're talking of stoning Jesus in Judea. Now, this isn't something to do with a miscellaneous substance that you can get in the park. No, this is actually throwing rocks at him to kill him. He's in danger in that part of the country, as they say. "But Rabbi," verse 8, they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." Jesus is going about his Father's business. He'll be okay. And there's a hint here that when we, his disciples here and in the 80 years, will go about his Father's business, God will be with us. After he said this, verse 11. Now, he's actually going to speak here about death. And we're going to discover that Jesus, in Christ alone, death becomes sleep. Let's see it. After he said this, he went on to say to them, verse 11, have a look. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now, what did Jesus mean? I'm glad I was not there. Was he glad that he put the sisters through the suffering of tragedy and grief? No, he's glad because something is going to happen, something amazing that Jesus is going to show his glory in. And in the end, it will be something that shows his great love for them and his disciples. In Christ, death becomes sleep. Jesus redefines death. When he says here, "Lazarus has fallen asleep, I'm going there to wake him up," he's not just being clever with words. He's telling us that with him, death is something different. If we trust in Jesus, then death to us, you and me, becomes a different thing. Something that's no longer permanent as it used to be. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep," verse 11, "but I'm going there to wake him up." It's Jesus, the Lord Jesus, who wakes the sleepers. In Christ alone and in no one else, death becomes sleep. And Paul, the apostle, later on in the New Testament, will write these words, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Yes, it's Jesus who says to people, "Wake up! Wake up!" With Jesus, death is not permanent. Now, what does this do to the fear of death? Why do people fear death? Because for people, they think that death is final and permanent. It's not because they fear God's judgment after death, which they should fear. It's because they think it's a void and there's nothing. And that's the end of everything they enjoy. And so they fear death. But with Jesus, death becomes sleep. It's not permanent. He will say, I'm going there to wake them up. In Christ alone, death becomes sleep. So the fear of death need no longer be a fear that we have. It's a bit like a silly illustration, but forgive me. Suppose you went on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of There, here. Now, that could easily happen. All you need to do is get a couple of hundred YouTube hits and you're on. So you go on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and you have to do one of those challenges, and they stick in front of you a box. Let me just park this for a moment. And there's the box in front of you, fairly largest box, and there's a hole in it. And they say you've got to put your hand in the hole and take out what's inside. Now, this is terrifying, isn't it? Because you've seen this programme before and you know what's going to be in that hole. It's going to have long claws or furry legs and be creepy crawly. Or maybe there'll be a thousand of them moosing around inside it, yeah? But as you head towards the box with your hand in absolute terror, the producer whispers in your ear off camera, it's okay. It's only jelly. It's okay. It's only jelly. And you put a brave face on, pretending now, because you know it's only jelly. Fantastic. Put your hand in with absolute, you know, whatever. Because it's only jelly and you know it. The fear has been taken away. And this is what Jesus does for us with death. It looks like a hole in a box, which is terrifying. And we don't want to put our hand into it. And Jesus says, it's only jelly. That's a bit banal, really. But that's the kind of thing. He takes away the fear. Because he says, in me, in Christ, death becomes sleep. Well, David, someone might say, is grief wrong then? You know, Paul says, we don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Well, Paul isn't saying we don't grieve. He's just saying we don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Grief is a natural part of what happens when someone dies. Because there's two things going on. We see the pain of the physical process of actually dying, and that's not a nice thing. But more than that, there's when someone's died, there's the loss and separation of missing them. They're not there anymore. You want to reach out and phone them or hug them or chat with them, and they're gone. They're not in the other room. And so grief is very natural. And what Jesus does, he brings into that picture something to add to it, to help us with it, a hope, a sure hope for anyone who's depended on Jesus. Anyone who's trusted in Jesus and died, we know that in Christ alone, death becomes sleep. And so we don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We grieve with hope, knowing what Jesus has done. In Christ alone, death becomes sleep. Well, let's hit the passage again, see what's next. Verse 17 to 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Now, this isn't just geographical information. It's terrifying. Are they going to stone Jesus? He's only 2 miles from Jerusalem. Are they going to arrest him? What's going to happen? When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I don't think she's angry with him. I think she respects and loves him too much. I think she's sad that he wasn't here. She's honest with him. But her degree of understanding doesn't go as far as you might hope it would. I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. But when Jesus goes to the tomb, spoiler alert, she says, Lord, don't move the stone. There's going to be a stench. She doesn't believe that much yet, but she believes he's able to do something, maybe help her with comfort in the midst of this great loss. Jesus says to her, verse 23, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Now, Jesus is not just being a good vicar and comforting her with helpful words. He's prodding her to something greater. There's something massive she's going to learn. And she's a good Jewish girl. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She understands that. But she hasn't understood who's standing right in front of her. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives in by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Fantastic, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. In John's Gospel, there are seven signs and seven I am sayings of Jesus. And we've got two, one of each here. We've got a sign, Jesus raising Lazarus. Oh, spoiler alert. Jesus raising Lazarus. We've got an I am the resurrection and the life. This is so important, this section. And the question at the end is fantastic, isn't it? He tells her, and then he says, do you believe this? And every time we read this verse out, we should end with that. Do you believe this? Because it's a challenge. What he says is an amazing claim. Do we believe this? She says, yes, Lord. Verse 27. I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And she's going to see something even bigger. In the meantime, in Christ alone, there is resurrection and life. Isn't this amazing? Mary already believes in resurrection, but Jesus says, it's me. I'm standing here in front of you. I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is no longer some sort of abstract idea for the end of time. He's standing there in front of her, the one who's made the heavens and the earth, and the one who's got a key to end the tyranny of sin and death. And he's going to prove it twice, once with Lazarus, and then with himself rising from the dead on Easter Day. In Christ alone, in only in Jesus, in the I am, there is resurrection and life. There's resurrection. Death is temporary. Through death, there's something else. There's life. There's resurrection and there's life. Even today, our experience of existing changes. And so that we're with Jesus now, we continue with him through death forever. Resurrection and life. How do we receive it? Believing. The one who believes will live. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. We have to put our hands, our life in the hands of Jesus. We have to trust in him and depend on him. Like a parachute jump, isn't it? If you want to do that parachute jump for charity, you've got to trust the parachute and step out of the plane into nothingness and hope and pray and trust that the parachute catches you. And you won't step out unless you believe and trust that parachute. And we need to step out and believe and trust in Jesus because he is the resurrection and the life. So today, are you trusting in Jesus? What happens if you get coronavirus and die? Jesus tells you, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Resurrection and life in Jesus. Your soul will continue. Your existence and your experience of existing will continue with Jesus through death. He promises it. He's the resurrection and life. What about if you're believing in Jesus today? Well, you have eternal life today. And, verse 26, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Your experience of life and death has changed forever. In Christ, death is no longer the moment of grim finality, but the gateway to life, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, someone might say, but David, what about that phrase, I believe in the resurrection of the living and the dead, that we say in the big creed when we say it? Yes, there is going to be a resurrection of the living and the dead, and people will be judged. And at that judgment, those who have trusted in Jesus will find that his death on the cross has wiped out the judgment for their sin, and they will go to be in his eternal kingdom. And those who have not trusted in Jesus will find that the weight of their sin is such that they will be separated from God for an eternity in hell. There is the resurrection of the living and the dead. So how can Jesus say, whoever lives by believing in me will never die? It's a matter of timelines, isn't it? So there are two timelines going on. There's the timeline of history and there's the timeline of your life or my life. So let's think about my life. Well, let's see history first. History comes along. There's a timeline. Some say creation happened and then Jesus came to earth. Jesus lived, died, rose again, went to heaven. And then another stage, he's going to return and bring judgment and his new creation. And on this timeline, some stage we die and then Jesus comes and we're raised for judgment. Or maybe we'll live until Jesus returns. But that's on the timeline of history. Now, what about your or my timeline? Well, I was born in 1968. When will I die? Don't know. Maybe this year, maybe another year. I will die, and then I won't experience any more of the history timeline. I will, by believing in Jesus, never die. I'll be with him forever. It's like the thief on the cross. Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, not on history timeline, because he's got to wait at least 2,000 years. But in his own timeline, in what he experiences, because of Jesus being the resurrection and the life, ba-dum, he's with him. Now, what does this do to the fear of death and us facing COVID-19? Is it absolutely stupefying in its terror and rendering anyone's accomplishment meaningless? Not anymore. Not with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not with the resurrection and the life. No longer. Because the one who believes in him, Jesus, will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in him will never die, in the sense that we will go through death as a gateway to life with him, which is better by far. In Christ alone, death becomes sleep. There is resurrection and life. Let's finish the passage. Verses 28 to 37. After Jesus had said this, Martha goes back and gets Mary. She turns up. Verse 32. She falls at his feet, says the same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was something or other and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews say, see how he loved him. But some of them say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So at the end of this bit of the passage, there where we were really to start with, well, Jesus loved him so much, but in that case, why didn't he stop him dying? Well, because God's glory is going to be seen. And we're going to discover that. In Christ alone, death is abolished. You see, in this passage, Jesus confronts the awfulness of death. And it's not just that he's sad about it. I didn't read that word out. Verse 33, when he saw them and those who come along also with her weeping, he was what? Deeply moved in spirit. Well, it's a bit of a sort of a wimpy translation, that, because it makes us think, well, maybe he's a bit sad. But that's not the word. The word is deeply moved in spirit, but in an outraged kind of way. So imagine a doctor going to a Syrian refugee camp, and they get there and they discover the international community's not been sending enough money to them, even in the midst of this coronavirus, they haven't. And there are people here starving. There are people here who don't get the medicines and drugs they need for ordinary diseases. There are people here who've been bombed by certain regimes and who are still suffering from those wounds. And how does that doctor feel? Deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Yeah? Outraged. Outraged. And Jesus is outraged at death. He's outraged at its existence in his creation, because it's about sin and judgment. And he's outraged at the pain that it puts people through. It's indignation. And his death and resurrection is going to end all of that. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is good news, isn't it? Good news for you, if you believe it. If you trust in Jesus. Wonderful good news. But what about the death of other people when they die? Now, this is tricky, but we've got to face it, haven't we? There's only one way this helps people, and that is if they turn to Jesus before they die. Incidentally, that's why we don't pray for people when they've died. We give thanks for their lives, but we don't pray for them directly, because they need to turn to Jesus before they die. This is no comfort to us for those who have died without Christ. What a challenge that is to us. How much do we love our friends and family? Will we take them to the resurrection and the life, to Jesus, to Christ, in whom alone death is abolished? It can be the best news, it will be the best news in the world for them. And even more so today, as so many people are afraid of dying. Death is nothing at all. Oh, it's absolutely stupefying. Has anybody got something better to say? Yes. Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Father, thank you that in our Lord Jesus Christ, death becomes sleep and he will wake us up one day. Thank you that in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is resurrection and life. This world is not all there is. There's something far better beyond death even. Thank you that in our Lord Jesus Christ, death is abolished. His indignation led to action. He died and rose again, and he is the resurrection and the life. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.